Thanks, Sean. Hello, everyone. It's great to be able to share with you today. Slides will come up shortly on why am I convinced baptism is essential to following Jesus. So we're continuing on our Why Am I Convinced series. And I believe we have a talk on or message on baptism every year at Hope, which I think is great because it just reaffirms why it is so important. And I'm hopeful today that you'll come away with a knowledge or an understanding of why baptism is so important. And so I'll try to break it down, hopefully into some very simple truths you can take away. So we'll go to the next slide. So I'm going to be talking about what is water baptism, who is required to be baptized in water and when, why is baptism essential for followers of Jesus? What, who, when, and why? Next slide. So what is water baptism? If we look at the definition of baptism itself, it means to immerse, to fully cover with water, put something down into water is one example. So if a ship is sunk, it goes into the water and it's covered. It's completely covered in water. But it can also mean if you pour water over above something, like if you're standing under a waterfall, that's also a form of baptism as well. But the definition I want to focus on is being putting down into water to be fully immersed. So if we go to the next slide, I'm going to be talking about a couple of examples from the Old Testament, which really, I believe, give us an understanding of baptism. When we look at the Old Testament, there's a lot of stories and examples we can actually learn from that show us a picture of something that relates to Jesus and the new covenant. And water baptism is no different. There's a couple of examples I want to show you from the Old Testament. One is the flood and Noah's ark. So I'm going to quickly read through 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype. That word basically means a picture, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in this story, which we're probably all familiar with, Noah's Ark and the flood, we have a picture of baptism. And so we have the flood, which was the baptism in water. We have the ark, which is Jesus Christ. And we have the result of the ark being coming through the waters of baptism. And that is a new life. And why is water baptism in this case, a picture as of this story? Well, God judged the world at that time. There was evil in the world. There was a lot of wickedness, spiritual wickedness that was taking place. I can't go into detail because of time, but essentially this family of eight souls, including Noah, were saved from that environment, that place, into a new environment where they were free from that wickedness. And there was deliverance through that. If we go to the next slide, the second example I want to show is Israel through the Red Sea. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud." It's talking about the children of Israel when it says fathers there. "All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So this is a story of the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt, which is a symbolic of the world system. And they came to the Red Sea and they had to be delivered from the army that was coming at them. They really needed God in that situation. And we know the story that God made a way through the Red Sea, that he, through Moses, opened the Red Sea. It was parted. Children of Israel went through the Red Sea and they came out the other side. And the Egyptian army followed them and they were consumed by the waters and destroyed. And through that, they were delivered from the enemy. They were delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. They had, in effect, a new life, having come through the Red Sea, because they were no longer slaves to the Egyptians. They no longer were bondage to the Egyptians. The Red Sea, if you like, was a grave between them, where they were on the other side of the Red Sea, and where they were in Egypt, which was a place of bondage, a place of oppression, and a place of slavery. So there was freedom there. So in both these cases, both these stories, there was a need for faith in God, for freedom and deliverance, and there was also God working to preserve his people, to save his people, and to show grace. So we can learn from these stories about baptism. Next slide. Who is required to be baptized and when? So, Rod covered this really well last week, and he talked about, next slide, repentance. Who remembers Rod's talk? He gave an example of the note and how it needs to be two-sided to be an authentic, legitimate note. Same for a coin. If you're trying to use a $50 bill or a $100 bill, you give it to someone in the shop, they're going to check that it's got the right information, the right picture, etc. on both sides. Otherwise, it's not legit. It's not authentic. The same with salvation. There's got to be repentance and there's got to be faith for it to be a genuine salvation, a genuine trust in Jesus Christ. And so repentance is essential. And I've got the wrong reference there, but it should be Acts 2:38 that or 37. I'll start from Acts 2:37. "Now, when they heard this," that is the gospel. This is the crowd that were gathered on the day of Pentecost. "They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So we see here, there was a gospel message was preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost. What happened then? They were convicted in their heart. They believed that they'd crucified Jesus, the Son of God, their Messiah, and they were believers. And then what happened then? They said, "What shall we do, men and brethren?" So there was also, I believe, repentance, because they were willing to say, "Look, we've done something wrong. we believe that Jesus actually, he was the Messiah, that he has died for us. He was buried and he did rise again. They believed the gospel and then they repented and said, what shall we do? So Peter said, repent, which they had already done, but he's just reaffirming, you need to repent and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So this scripture is an example for us, for people who have repented, who've believed the gospel, they need to be baptized in water into Jesus. Just a personal testimony, I was brought up in a Christian home, in a family of believers, and I was actually baptized as a 4-year-old. I was quite young, and I was asked some questions at that time about did I believe in Jesus and things like that, and my mum actually told me this, and apparently my answers were that I showed a sort of understanding of what I was doing. But many years later, I had a real awakening, you could say, to the truth of the gospel and to Jesus Christ himself. And I really believed the gospel and really, I suppose, came to a place of repentance. In effect, I turned from my old way of living for me and myself and really committed my life to Christ. And it was a period of time following that I actually felt in my heart that I should be baptized, re-baptized, if you want to call it that. And I did that a few years later, actually. It was quite some time between my sort of awakening, you could say, and my, could almost call it conversion, to when I actually acted on that conviction in my heart. But I was very glad I did do that, because I wouldn't have said I really understood what it was I was doing when I was 4 years old. But having looked into the scriptures for myself and really studied the Word of God, I then understood what baptism meant, that I was now belong to Jesus. And what I'm saying from this is that, we need to be mindful of those conditions of repentance and faith before someone is baptized. I believe that for it to be an effective baptism, and I'll go into that what that means shortly, we should be seeing repentance, we should be seeing a genuine faith in Jesus. And from my personal experience, I've seen people baptized. I've baptized someone myself who hadn't genuinely repented and were more doing it out of probably just trying to please me because I was being kind to this person. I won't go into the details, but it's being kind to this person. They were, it's trying to show them the love of Jesus, but they did it because they wanted to sort of try something out. But there wasn't a really genuine repentance there. And so I've learned from that. And I believe we should, just be mindful of these examples in Scripture before we baptize people. Let's go to the next slide. So the second point I want to make is hear and believe the gospel. So this is a story in Acts 8, verse 12. And it's a story of Philip and the eunuch. So I'll quickly read this in verse 34, I believe. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as when they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So a few points I want to make from this story. And you'll have to excuse me if I'm going through these quickly, but I'd encourage you to read these scriptures in your own time to get a real full understanding of the context. But baptism was included in the gospel message. So the fact that the eunuch said, "What hinders me from getting baptized?" There must have been baptism in the gospel in preaching Jesus. Baptism was included in there. That's the first point I want to make. Secondly, Philip confirmed with the eunuch that he believed with Jesus believed the gospel with all his heart. So there was a confirmation that there was genuine faith there. And the second point is the fact that Philip preached Jesus and there was baptism in his message, and the fact that he responded to that message is that it must have been essential for believers to be baptized in the early church, because otherwise he wouldn't have mentioned baptism at that time. Why did he mention it? Because it was essential. So thirdly, third point I want to make is the teaching of baptism, or the preaching of baptism, and the subsequent decision by the hearer to be baptized does not need to take long, does not need to take days, weeks, months, or years. It can happen in hours. It does not have to take long. And this is an example of that. It probably happened in the space of a few hours between him preaching the gospel message and the eunuch being baptized. There's other accounts in the book of Acts of people being baptized the same day as they heard the gospel. We know the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, there was 3,000 baptized that day. We know the household of Cornelius were baptized the same day they heard the gospel. The Philippian jailer, he was baptized, him and his household, before dawn came. So it was quite quick. And that might be a challenge to some people, but I believe that's God's will, in that we see people's lives changed and transformed. And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. And you might think, well, you took a long time to get re-baptized. But, you know, I don't want to use myself as an example. I want to use the Word of God, because that's our example. So why is baptism essential for followers of Jesus? This is where it gets really interesting. So Matthew 3, verse 3, we go to Jesus' example. So this is where Jesus came to John and he said, John knew that he needed to baptize Jesus. And in verse 14 of Matthew 3, "And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me.' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." So at its core, baptism is a following of the example of Jesus and in a believer's life. And that is that Jesus was baptized, and we as his followers, if we believe on Jesus, if he is our Lord, if he is our Saviour, then we will follow his example. And we know that if you read, keep reading, it says the Father actually spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So it was pleasing to the Father that Jesus was baptised. and it's pleasing to the Father when we are baptized. So we should have an attitude of wanting to please the Father. Go to the next slide. To bury the old man, the old sinful nature. Colossians 2 verse 12. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. The circumcision it's talking about here in verse 11 is talking about a spiritual separation. So the Jewish people would be circumcised to separate themselves from the other nations. They separated themselves to God. In the same way, when we are baptized, we're actually separating ourselves from the world, from our sinful man, our nature, and the sins of the past. And we actually belong, being joined to Christ, and we can, as it says there, it's a putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. So it's what it's saying here is, in effect, it's we're putting our faith in Jesus, that because he died to our sins, because he was buried with our sins and he rose again and into a new life, we can identify with Jesus in baptism. What do I mean by that? I mean we can identify that we've died with him. We can identify that we've been buried with him. And we can identify that we've been raised up with him as well. And as it says here, we are raised with him through faith in the working of God, or the power of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. So what baptism is, it's a public declaration, it's a public confession of your faith in Jesus, but it's also a declaration that you belong to Jesus and that you're covered by him, that you're covered by his blood. Because as I said before, baptism, or a burial, if I want to put it like that, a burial is just a covering. You put a body under the ground, cover it with dirt. It's a covering. It's completely covered. It's the same with when we're buried with Jesus, we're completely covered by him, and that old life is covered by his blood. So we are completely covered by him, and we now belong to him. So we come up out of the water belonging to Jesus. We don't belong to the sinful nature. We don't belong to the sinful man and the sinful deeds of our past. That's finished. That's gone. It's buried. It's covered. It's finished. And that's what Colossians 2 verse 12 is saying. Go to the next slide. Freedom from sin. Romans 6 verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." So when you come out of the waters of baptism, as I was saying, you're entering into a new life, okay? You're free from the slavery and the power of sin, just as the Israelites were free from the Egyptians, just as the Noah and his family were free from the spiritual wickedness that was present in those times. And I believe once you receive a revelation of that passage, it has the potential to transform your life. I believe that you can be free from behaviors, from addictions, from habits, from thought patterns, by the renewing of your mind. If you really read that passage and understand it and seek God for a revelation of it, I believe it has the potential to transform your life, because it is saying that we no longer are under the power of sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free. And I know that, you know, you can be a new man in the spirit, but still be walking around wearing grave clothes and chains from your past. But it need not be so, because we've been provided a way out through the blood of Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And these promises are for us. They're for us to take hold of, but we need to access them by faith. We receive all the promises of God through faith, and we need to take hold of these promises and believe for them. And just next slide, we'll read here in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Of the accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, water baptism is mentioned as occurring in these accounts of conversion on at least 9 occasions. Water baptism was not considered an optional extra for Christians, depending on their background, their theology, their denomination, etc. It was a normal part of following Christ. It was just considered part of the gospel, as I said before. As I said, God has made a way for us through baptism into Jesus Christ to take hold of so much blessing and so much freedom and so much transformation, that we can become more like him. And my challenge for you is, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and if you haven't been baptized, consider these scriptures we've read out today. And I know I've gone through them very quickly, but go home and read them through in your own time. I can send you the slides. And consider what God is speaking to your heart. Consider, do you have a need for repentance in this area of water baptism? And likewise, if you were baptized as an infant, as a baby, or someone who didn't understand what water baptism was, my challenge and encouragement is for you to do the same. Consider these scriptures. Consider what God is speaking to your heart, because there is much blessing and freedom and grace provided for us through what Jesus did for us and through being water baptized. And I can attest to that, and I've seen many other examples. My father was delivered from a smoking addiction when he was baptized, and I know there's many other accounts of people experiencing great freedom from it. So I hope that encouraged you today, and let me just pray to finish. Father, thank you for your sending your son, Jesus Christ, that he did indeed die for us. He did indeed be buried, and he rose again triumphantly, defeating death and defeating sin and the power of it. So, Father, thank you for this truth, this revelation, that we can walk in the same newness of life that Jesus has and is walking in. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. We thank you that you have delivered us from darkness, that we are, that we can, through being baptized and rising out of the water, have a new life, have freedom, have hope of eternal life, and really be transformed to be more like you, to have a greater intimacy with you, God. So, Father, just thank you for this truth. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've provided for us through the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Amen.